If you're coming south on the grounds of AirVenture 2019, you'll see that big orange vintage tower. And across the street from that big tower is the entrance to a wonderful world of vintage here at EAA. Some amazing, awesome airplanes are on display down here this year, and specifically featured here on the Rose Memorial Plaza. And so we're talking to some neat people about vintage airplanes and what they do with their airplanes and who flies them. And Judy Birchler is with us. She is the founder and president of Ladies Love Tail Draggers. And you just basically told us what's going on with your organization here at AirVenture this year. And you have one of your members with you.
I do have one of my favorite lady tail dragger pilot members with me today. I'd like to introduce you to Wendy Lessig. Wendy is from Salt Lake City, Utah. She has a Piper PA-12 Soup 1940. What is it, Wendy?
1947.
1947. And Wendy flies, well, I'll just let you explain. Wendy, where all have you been this year?
Well, last year I flew my plane too much, so I had to get a top overhaul, and that took a little bit of chunk out of my flying time last year. But this year so far, I've been down to Mexico, up to Canada, out to the Pacific Ocean. I've landed at every public airport in Utah and Idaho since April. And after the Oshkosh show, I'm going with my good friends, Bill and Yvette, and we're going to go. They have a Super Cub from Ohio. We're going to go fly up to New England and eat some Maine lobsters and see if we can't touch the northeast corner of the continental United States. And then I'm looking forward later this year in October to go down to Louisiana, to Natchitoches, Louisiana. There's the Ladies Love Tail Dragger fly in there, October 3rd through 6th. And we're going to have a real good time with a whole group of ladies there flying around. And I've only landed at half of the airports in Arkansas, 51 of them. So I hope to go to a few more of them and maybe finish my Arkansas airports on the trip.
Now, Wendy, some of the states have a passport program. Do you participate in those?
Yes, I have. Utah just started there. So obviously I finished all of the Utah one. I've also gotten a real nice leather jacket from North Dakota, landed at all of their public airports, and got some good prizes from South Dakota, landing at all of their airports too. And I've also I've been working on my North Carolina one, but I only have about a third of North Carolina airports done.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment.
I'm just a regular person. I'm not in the aviation business. I didn't learn to fly in the military. I paid for it all myself, and I have a nice Avgas budget, and I love to fly, just like Judy does.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It sounds so much fun.
Well, that's what we're all about, having fun. If you're not having a good time, what's the point? So.
And a Super Cruiser is a good go somewhere airplane. You know,
a souped up Super Cruiser. It's like a Super Cub, only better.
Yeah, big wide back seat. I knew you were going to say that. You had to give your plug for your Super Cruiser. It's a very nice airplane. Which power plant do you have in it?
I have an 0360 180 horse engine in it.
So it's very capable.
Very, very capable. It's like a big purse. I can carry all my stuff in it.
Okay.
Not the engine, the plane.
Well, did you fly here
here from Salt Lake City, and I kind of beelined it because the weather was sort of chasing me, so it only took 2 days to get here.
Okay.
But it'll take about 3 weeks to get back.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You're having some diversions en route. All right, good
and
deal.
If I could, I'd like to take just a moment to invite all the lady pilots here to attend our Ladies Love Tail Dragger Fall Fly-In, which is going to be at Natchitoches, Louisiana, as Wendy was saying. We're going to have a great time. We encourage all pilots, nose, wheel, tail, wheel to come. Any nose, wheel pilots that like to be encouraged and get a ride in a tail dragger, we'll make sure they get one. And it's just all about some girls having fun and flying together for 4 days.
That sounds fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us, ladies. And
thank you.
We always love to have you on promoting what you love to do. It's what we're all about.
Very happy to be here. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Judy. Ray, you've got some more special people for us to talk to afternoon.
We sure do. I have Jim Savage. Jim Savage is from Pennsylvania. And behind us, you're looking at this incredible Spartan Executive, perhaps the highest polished airplane on the planet. And Jim has brought it here for us to enjoy. Jim, tell us about your very rare Spartan Executive.
Well, it is a 1939 Spartan Executive. There are only 34 made. 20 have survived, although there aren't that many that really fly. There's 17 in this country. Those that fly on a regular basis are probably a handful. We were very fortunate in 2016 at Oshkosh to have 8 of them on the field. 7 flew in and 1 got towed over from the EAA museum, but it is a rare airplane. I first got interested in it in around 2004. I had never heard of a Spartan Executive before 2004. I had the opportunity to see one, and immediately I thought, I need one of those, or want, or whatever it is, and decided I was going to go about getting one. Well, unfortunately, you just don't go to your local aircraft dealer and say, let me pick from what you have there. You have to go searching. And I searched for 3 or 4 years. And I test flew one. I made an offer on another and looked at quite a number of them. Actually, I looked at 7 or 8 or 9 of them. And none of them seemed to quite fit my needs. And a friend who happened to own a Spartan Executive, and I think it was as a joke, sent me a notice of an auction, an insurance auction, for one that had been damaged. And I had no interest in a damaged airplane. But at any rate, I decided to take a look at it, and then I started thinking about the possibilities. Any airplane I've had, I've always wanted to make it mine, do something different with it. And in this case, I was starting pretty much with a clean sheet of paper. It needed a lot, and took about 2 years to get it back in the air. And then every year, it's an ongoing project, 1 year adding a new instrument panel and avionics, another year redoing an interior, redoing the fabric, and so forth. And I also wanted to make it somewhat distinctive. And when Spartans were first built, when they rolled off the assembly line, the only paint that was on it was the nose ring. And then the owners had the ability to custom design the trim on it so that you won't find any two Spartans that were exactly alike coming out of the factory. And I thought, well, I'd like to make it pretty close to what it looked like. And you'll notice on the airplane, it also has an executive script on the cowling. Well, the prototype had that on it. And so that's what I thought I would do, is make it like that. And never set out to have a show plane. And I started polishing it. It didn't look like that, obviously, when I got it. And I started polishing it some more. And eventually, it started taking on a slightly different appearance than everyone else's.
That will happen, yeah. That's a lot of
and
work.
And that's pretty much what it's known for. And as you're aware, this year it looks a little different than it has in past years when I've been here. It has Royal Air Force markings on it. And everyone says to me, what's the rondel on it and the RAF markings? Well, the story behind that is this airplane actually served with the RAF during the Second World War. With a cruise speed of 190 miles per hour, they needed a light transport with the RAF Ferry Command. This ended up suiting their needs. 3 of them went to the RAF in Canada. 1 went to Europe. The one in Europe met its demise about a month later. The 3 came back out of the RAF after the war. 1 was destroyed in 1950 or 51. There is still 1 other that served in the RAF, but it's in pieces today. So this is the only flying Spartan Executive that served in the RAF that is still in airworthy condition.
Wow. That is special. This particular airplane, when you found it, where was it?
It was actually in a shop in Battle Creek, Michigan. It had been involved in an accident about a year before, a severe landing accident, tore the landing gear off, and did the typical damage, the prop, the spinner, the engine teared on and so forth, tore up because the wing flaps were done, tore those up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a beautiful airplane, but it also looks like it deserves respect. It's probably a challenge to fly.
Well, I don't know that it's challenging. All tail draggers have a reputation for if you're not careful, it will bite you. I've been flying it now for 10 years or so, and it hasn't bitten me yet. Keep my fingers crossed on that. But you have to fly it all the way to the hangar, as they say. And in flight, it's like any other airplane. It's a big airplane, a heavy airplane. It's 4,400 pounds. It obviously has a large engine. It's a Pratt & Whitney R985, 450 horsepower, so it's not like a typical trainer or anything. But and in flight, though, it's incredibly smooth. It's quiet. You don't even need a headphone in it. It was designed as an executive transport, and with that in mind, it's, you know, they built a lot of the quality features into it to make it comfortable and quiet. And you know, that's what I see out of it. I don't find it to be particularly difficult as long as you pay attention.
So one last question, Jim. How fast does it go? How long did it take you to get here from Pennsylvania?
Well, I had the worst headwind I have ever had coming over on Friday. If you're willing to burn a lot of gas, it will do close to the claim speeds of, 190 miles per hour. If you throttle it back, I'm typically flying at about 155, 160 miles an hour. Instead of 25 gallons of gas, I'm down to 17. Coming over here, I got as slow as, my airspeed indicator's in knots, I got down to 106 knots, which is incredible. It took forever. It took 4.5 hours. It should have taken 3.5. But hopefully I'll get that on the way back.
Okay. Well, yes, you'll make up for it on the way home, I'm sure. Well, Jim, thank you for joining us on EA Radio today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I would encourage any of our listeners to get down to Vintage to not only see this beautiful Spartan Executive, but the many other airplanes that are on display here. One of those is a Comanche 250, and we're going to take a break, and we'll talk all about that here in just a couple minutes.
Sandra Payne from New Zealand.
Excellent. Jay Machi, we're on the fly at Vintage. You're listening to EA Radio.